This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our final session for today deals with a very important problem of our present times. Stress. Subhanallah, I'm so stressed. This is a dialogue that we hear every day. But when are we really stressed and require medical intervention, and when is it just another bad day? Our speaker for this session is Sister Bela Khan. Sister Bela Khan is a certified life coach, speaker, and author. She has many certifications in the field of leadership, success, and human behavior from leading institutes of the world. Additionally, she has completed her bridge diploma in Islamic studies from the Islamic Online University. Teaching the concepts of psychology and human behavior in the light of divine principles of Islam is Sister Bela's specialty. She conducts personal development workshops to help people take their lives to the next level and become better versions of themselves. Sister Bela Khan, please go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you guys hear me?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, sister, we can hear you perfectly clear. Alhamdulillah.
How is everybody doing? Can I reach the... Are you still charged up or just by this last talk and everybody is losing energy? Please type something in the chat box so I can see, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Let's get charged up, please. Alhamdulillah. How's the conference going so far? Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Enjoying. And how's everybody doing? Perfect. Alhamdulillah. Okay, inshallah, I'm going to make it interactive. And I'm just, inshallah, this, my presentation at least is going to be, it's going to be wanting you to participate very actively. I would really like you to have a pen and paper with you if you're not there, if you haven't got it already. And inshallah, I'm just sharing the whole screen for a while, Manuka. And then inshallah, we can do our exercises as we go along, inshallah. So let's begin. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. My topic is stress and anxiety. My topic is stress and anxiety. Am I audible? Okay. Alhamdulillah. So let's start with anxiety. And I'll read the definition for you and then I'll explain. Okay. So anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increased blood pressure. People with anxiety disorders usually have recurring intrusive thoughts or concerns, and they may avoid certain situations out of fear. So that's what anxiety is. So normal versus pathologic anxiety. Normal anxiety is adaptive. Adaptive means it's good, right? It is an inborn response to threat or absence of people or objects that signify safety, and it can result in cognitive and somatic symptoms. Pathologic anxiety is the anxiety that is excessive and impairs function. So in layman terminology, I'm just going to explain the slides. So for example, normal and adaptive level of anxiety is something that can keep you going. It is something that you want as a human being, right? So for example, if that's your exam tomorrow and you're not feeling anxious, so ultimately you will not prepare for it, right? But if there is exam tomorrow, or if you're going to give a public talk or something and you are feeling anxious, there is an adaptive level of anxiety that is actually good for you. You need to feel that, right? But pathological anxiety, when anxiety becomes severe and it starts to interfere with your work and personal life in general, so that can cause serious problems, especially if you ignore it and if you leave it untreated. So for example, what are the symptoms of anxiety? Muscles are tense or they are ache, feelings of nervousness, being keyed up, you feel anxious, you feel nervous or you feel irritable, being physically agitated or worrying all the time, to a point that it interferes with the attention and concentration, not sleeping well, and having vague pains and headache or dizziness. Okay, remember all these symptoms are treatable. So with this being said, I'll quickly have a look at the types of this disorder. Naturally, it's a very, very vast subject, and all covering everything is beyond the scope of this presentation. I'll just cover a few, and then we'll jump onto the treatment part, which is more relevant and more practical, inshallah. But you need to know what are certain types of of the anxiety disorder. So first is that we call generalized anxiety disorder. Generalized anxiety disorder is basically characterized by non-specific and excessive worries about almost anything all the time. So, subhanAllah, you're worrying about your job, you're worrying about the behavior of children, you're worried about your salah, you're worried about your finances. So worrying about almost everything. You know, there are kind of people we meet in our daily life and you see, like, she's always worried. Mom, what's the problem? So people with generalized anxiety disorder, they experience chronic and uncontrollable worry and feel constantly on the edge. And it can lead to fatigue, difficulty in concentrating, and insomnia, among other problems. So just think about it. If a person is constantly worrying, and they are worrying about salah, they're worrying about their kids and everything, would they be able to concentrate on anything? Would they be concentrating on their salah? Would they be concentrating on if they work, their work? Would they be even concentrating on, you know, cleaning up their house or anything? So this is this is what we call generalized anxiety disorder. Then we have OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which is associated with repetitive, uncontrollable, and irrational thoughts that usually involve themes of harm, danger, or contamination. The anxiety that accompanies these obsessions is relieved only when certain behaviors are performed. These behaviors are called compulsion because the anxiety sufferer is compelled to do them to find some relief. However, the compulsion themselves consumes so much time and energy that they may impair a person's ability to function in social and occupational situations. So in a layman terminology, so as to make it understandable, what happens? You feel, for example, especially if you're a microbiology student, you feel that your hands are dirty. Like a very typical example of OCD is that your hands are dirty. So what do? You feel obsessed with the fact that your hands are dirty, and this actually compels you to go wash your hands. Once you wash your hand, you feel a bit relieved, and then after a while, you start feeling that, oh, my hands are dirty again. So what do? You go wash your hands again, right? And this takes so much energy that, subhanAllah, I have seen such severe cases of OCD that not only the person who is doing that, but the entire family is affected because of this person's OCD. And I saw there was a sister who had OCD with making wudu, right? She would make wudu and then she would come back and then she said, oh my God, I thought I missed this part. I missed that part. So that's what, subhanAllah, religion is so easy. And it says that, khalas, once you have done the wudu, khalas, you have done it. Just don't think about it because Shaitan usually compels you to think about it and to go make wudu again, so that all the time you're concentrating, even when you're praying, you're concentrating on the fact that whether you have done your wudu or not, right? So what happens when you're focusing on the fact that your wudu is perfect or not? What happens is that you are not actually focusing on your salah. So this is OCD for you. Panic. Panic is an unexpected burst of excessive anxiety, usually interpreted as a signal that something is terribly wrong. So, you know, you see that, oh my God, my exam's result is coming, and you start to panic, oh my God, what's going to happen? Am I going to pass or not? Oh my God. Or, you know, sometimes people are like, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart, I'm dying. So this is what actually panic leads to. Panic can lead to agoraphobia. Agoraphobia is basically fear of public places where escape is difficult and help is hard to obtain. If it is left untreated, what happens? More and more places are avoided and a person becomes housebound. So PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, we have an entire presentation for you on PTSD. What happens is that you suffer a trauma and after that you start to feel stress. After that you start to feel anxious, right? So PTSD can affect individuals who have survived a severe physical or mental trauma like childhood abuse, assault, robbery, accident. Or if they have witnessed, either they have experienced it themselves or they have witnessed such an event. What are the symptoms? The symptoms that are included are emotional numbness, intense flashbacks. You cannot just let go of it. It keeps coming back. It keeps coming back. Nightmares. You're sleeping and in the middle of night, you wake up and, oh my God, I just saw that dream again. And avoidance of situations or activities that are a reminder of that even. So that's PTSD. Social phobia is an exaggerated fear of social situation in which one's behavior can be scrutinized and evaluated by others. So you have social phobia, you're going in a meeting maybe, and you're having this feeling that, okay, everybody's going to judge me. Everybody's going to judge the way I eat or the way I write or the way I speak. So eating, writing, speaking, or any occasion where a person can be observed by others, it can provoke intense anxiety. Social phobia is sometimes confused with shyness, but it is far more severe and leads to isolation and severely impaired social relationship. So specific phobia, ranging from mild to severe and encompassing any number of possible fear, phobias are a heightened and irrational fear of a specific object or situation that possess no real threat. Common phobias include fear of enclosed places, claustrophobia, fear of height, acrophobia, and fear of flying, aviophobia. Phobias don't usually interfere with personal work and life unless the fear situation is something sometimes encountered or that cannot be avoided. So, something which is normal for you, it might not be normal for the person who is having specific phobia. So, for example, flying is very normal for you. You just board the aeroplane and the aeroplane takes off. Some colors. You are chill, watching all those skies and everything, and the sunrise and the sunset. And another person, she's like constantly reciting astaghfirullah, which is good. Reciting astaghfirullah is good. But they are not comfortable in that situation. Normally, those people are fine. You wouldn't identify if they are suffering this or not. But if they encounter such a situation, or if they are with you in an elevator, then you'll get to know that, okay, this person is suffering with this phobia, right? Okay, so far so good. I just want to have a look at you guys. Okay, and nothing major except for blurry slides, I guess. Blurry slides. Okay, treatment. So how can you treat this? Medication, counseling, and self-care. Just understand that psychologists, for most part of the world, I think in some part of the world, maybe in US, they are allowed to prescribe medication. But generally, for most part of the world, medication is something which only psychiatrists can prescribe, right? So if you come to me with your anxiety disorder, I'll not tell you to take this medicine or that medicine, right? Your healthcare provider, your psychiatrist may recommend you some medication. So I'll skip this part and I'll move on to what I can do is counseling. So counseling, does it help? Of course it does, right? So anxiety disorder, how should I put it? Just understand that anxiety disorder, they are the most treatable of all mental disorders, right? So that's a good news for you. So what type of therapy do we generally use when we are treating anxiety disorders? We use CBT. Cognitive behavioral therapy. So what do we do in that? This therapy can treat mild to severe disorder. And we use relaxation techniques in that. We use gradual exposure to the situation. So so for example, I'll give you a funny example. If you are fearful of cats, say, right? So we'll lock you in a room which has cats. So what happens? Initially, a person will panic. Oh my God, this room has a cat. What am I going to do now? So after a while, they will see that the cat is looking at me and I'm looking at the cat and cat is not doing anything. So this panic and this, you know, fear would subside gradually. And they will say, okay, I'm here. The cat is here too. And both of us are fine. So that's how maybe, you know, gradual exposure to the situation that can trigger anxiety. Then we teach some problem-solving skills to deal with the stresses. And then we teach some skills to challenge the anxiety-provoking thoughts. That's how counseling helps. And more, of course, that's again a very huge topic, a long topic. And now I come to the part which is my favorite, because that's something that you can do by yourself to take care of yourself, right? Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your body has right over you. And this part is my favorite because it is actually equipping you to help yourself, right? It's very important to go to the counselor when the level are, the anxiety level are, you know, rising and it is getting out of your control. But if it is within the controllable limits, but it is there, then these are a few things that inshallah you can do. And this will help you in all the situation, right? This is a technique that I would like to do with you. So inshallah, you can see the slide. Okay, this is a breathing exercise that I would like to do with you. Inshallah, breathe low and slow. Okay, that's all of us are going to do together, so you can at least type something in the chat box that you're ready so that I can do this exercise with you, and inshallah I can see your response as well. Ready? Is the chat enabled? Okay, good. Yes, it is enabled. Good. So we are doing it together. We are learning this technique right here, right now, and inshallah you're going to see that stress, anxiety, whatever it is going to help you a great deal. Remember that when you are breathing shallow and when you're feeling dizzy, it increases the level of anxiety. It makes it worse. So relaxed breathing, it helps you a lot in dealing with anxiety. So this one technique that I'm going to do with you right now to slow your breathing, this technique is actually very, very, very effective, but it is so simple that people doubt if it really works. So when I teach it to people, people are like, you know, tell us something else. Well, yes, you need to learn something else as well. But start from this simple, research-based, effective, proven strategy to lower the level of anxiety. And the good part is that wherever you are, you can try this, right? And always, always, always remember that whenever you feel anxious, whenever you feel that anxiety is kicking in, do not doubt its effectiveness. You will see the results, inshallah. So this being said, here's what I want you to do. Sit in a very comfortable chair. Okay, I'm already sitting in a comfortable chair. So if you work most of the time while sitting. Okay, yeah, I'm just going to tell you, Sana. Sit in a comfortable chair with hands resting on your abdomen. Okay, ready? So inhale. And I'm going to do the same with you, okay? Inhale. Breathe slowly through the nose until you can feel your abdomen expands and your hands are pushed kind of outwards for inhalation. Okay. Good. You're doing it. Excellent. Excellent. Mashallah. And once you have inhaled, just slowly allow the air or just allow the breath to gently escape through your mouth. Okay. So if I do it again, just keep the jaws relaxed and the lips, they're slightly parted, right? So that's just to let the breath escape. Let's do it one more time, okay? Inhale, let the abdomen fill in with air. Inshallah, let's start. Exhale. So keep repeating this step until you feel relaxed. But do remember to breathe low and slow, right? I have kind of done it a bit faster, but inshallah, you can do it very slow. And that's it. That's very simple. Sometimes, you know, you'll also study in some of these relaxation or deep breathing techniques that you can hold the breath for a few seconds, and that's also good. And if anywhere you read that, allow the breath to come out in parts like this, right? Rather than allowing it to come out like this. Allow it to come out in bars, like that's also fine, right? It has different versions and all are good. So remember, you can practice this low and slow breathing before entering situations which are, you know, kind of stressful, or you think that they can trigger anxiety. For example, you're going out for a public talk. So remember to do this, okay? And you have, if you're, you know, traffic, if you're very anxious when you are stuck in traffic, so you can do this before traffic hours, or, you know, if you're going in a meeting, whatever it is, it's definitely going to help you feel less stressful. Just quickly tell me, how are you feeling now? even if you're feeling 0.05, 0.0005% better than what you were feeling moments ago, it's good. Alhamdulillah. Start small and build up on it. Feeling better? Give me something, write down something, better, no better. Okay. Right. Alhamdulillah. Good, alhamdulillah. All right, let's move on, inshallah. This works. Every time this technique works, and trust me, even before starting this talk and before starting most of my talks, I also do this deep breathing exercise. And so much when you're working, subhanAllah, and when you're a mother of kids, you know, so many things keep popping up. So this really helps you. It also, once you are relaxed, it allows you to access the problem-solving part of your brain, and then you can think better, you can decide better. So this technique is very, very beneficial. Okay, keep track of anxiety triggers. So, okay. So you have to know what triggers your anxiety. So if you know about your triggers, what you can do is that you can make some plans to change or to avoid those triggers, right? For example, if there's a person or a situation that triggers anxiety, you can ask yourself, what can I possibly do to lower down the level of anxiety? So maybe if you have a meeting that triggers anxiety, so you can tell yourself, okay, I can try deep breathing. Or if a person triggers anxiety, so you can decide, okay, must I meet him, or, you know, I can avoid it. So knowing your triggers is also very important. Stick to a regular sleep schedule. Remember, again, this is scientifically proven that establishing a routine, a proper sleep and wake-up schedule, it helps a great deal in lowering anxiety. young mothers, if they are listening to me, they would be like, ha, 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 what is she talking about? So would I understand? Okay, it's okay. I'm also struggling with regaining my routine with my 11-month-old. So inshallah, it's okay. It's better try dying than, you know, giving up. So for the rest of you who have somewhat control over their lives, inshallah, I'm just going to recommend a few techniques that can help you take care of your anxiety by establishing a good sleep routine. So before sleeping or before going to bed, do something very relaxing. Like if you like reading, then you can read a book or taking warm bath, or, you know, anything that relaxes you. Or please make sure that you not use your bed, especially your bed, for non-sleep activities. Like, you know, you're eating in the bed, you're watching TV in the bed, and wallahi, if you have TV in your bedroom, my dear brothers and sisters, have mercy on yourself. Please throw it out. It is such an big trigger of anxiety, inshallah. If Allah permits, one day we can have a talk on that also, how TV is, or you know, stuff that is that of similar category are a good cause of our mental troubles. So if you exercise before sleeping, then it is not recommended that you do strenuous exercise before sleeping, right? Or do not take caffeine, or we assume that we all are good Muslims, so we do not take alcohol or tobacco few hours before bedtime. And follow the beautiful sunnah, recite Surah Mulk, the last two ayat of Baqarah. If you have kids, then you can do story time with them. So anything relaxing, seek istighfar, do it before sleeping, and do it consistently. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likes a deed. No matter even if it's small, if it's done on constant basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that deed. Okay, let's move on. Take short breaks. So if you're working, if you're a mother, or if you're working in an office, or whoever you are, whatever your capacity is, taking short breaks are very, very important, right? So if you're working in an office and you're sitting throughout the day, this may call for a lot of trouble. So take short breaks, like, you know, if there's lunch hour, then you're walking with the during the lunch hour, or reciting your azkar, or, you know, if you're working for like 2-3 months constantly, it's good to take a break, go out somewhere. Or even if it's lunch hour and you can go out, take a walk in nature, it's good. And especially, you know, a lot of things happen in life. Somebody hurts us so bad that we want to burst and we cannot say anything. Go out, take a walk in nature. It really helps to dissipate the negative energy. And research proves that just 10 minutes walking in the nature, it immediately boosts the chemistry of our brain to increase happiness. So breaks are very, very important. Cut back on caffeine. So if you have, especially if you have anxiety problem, then caffeine actually adds a lot to the problem. I myself love coffee, but I always have it in a very calculated amount. And so as I just said, it adds to the anxiety, caffeine. So it's better to cut it down if you're taking a lot of caffeine. And if you're cutting it down, remember, cut it down gradually, because caffeine, or, you know, if you're taking coffee or whatever, it has addictive properties. So, for example, if you take 2 cups of coffee per day, have one for the next week and then half for the next week next to that. So that's how it can help. Learn positive self-talk. So what is a self-talk? Self-talk is basically a dialogue that goes on inside our head when we are faced with a challenge, any challenge that causes anxiety. So negative self-talk is how should I put it? It's lethal. It adds to anxiety. Negative self-talk, like, I cannot do this. How can I do this? And on the flip side, positive self-talk can greatly, greatly reduce the anxiety, no matter what, you know, it really helps. So let's do an activity again together. I'm just wondering, when did I start? How much time do I have? Okay, let's quickly do this activity together. So I invite you to think about a thing that you're really, really struggling with recently, whatever it is for you. So you want to take maybe admission in a university, or and your finances do not permit you, or, you know, you have young kids to take care of, or you have to give a public talk and you're staying back for whatever the reason. So whatever it is, whatever situation you're struggling with, first step is identify your inner dialogue. What are you saying to yourself? And trust me, I highly recommend, whenever I'm teaching these things, I highly recommend to people to write it down. Why? Because your heart and your head and your mind are sacred places for the remembrance of Allah. So do not pollute them. Write it down. So if you're saying, I cannot do that, just identify, embrace it. You're saying, I cannot do that, I cannot do that. Okay, done. Now you have to change it to something positive and neutral. Tell yourself, I can. Just loudly, I can. And the third step is just bring examples from your life to strengthen this I can. Right? So, for example, you can say that, subhanAllah, I did XYZ in the past, so I can do this as well. Or if you do not have any example in your life, bring examples from, subhanAllah, bring examples from someone else's life. Tell yourself, if Allah can do it for her, if she can study, by the grace and mercy of Allah, I can study too. Right? If Allah can do it for her, Allah can do it for me as well. Right? So this three step: identify, just neutralize it, and then bring example to support your neutralized or your newly formed positive talk. Right? I hope you're doing it with me, inshallah. So that's how a positive talk. Keep giving yourself, you know, different pep talks whenever you can. Stay active. So the more active you are, the lesser chances are there for anxiety to attack you. Just start making spontaneous. We'll talk about exercise in a while. And just don't wait for the treadmill to come to exercise. Do simple exercise that you can do to stay active, like just using stairs instead of elevator. And so on. We'll talk about exercise in a while as well, where we'll be discussing stress. So keep up with proper nutrition. So as far as food is concerned, take care of two things. First is include healthy stuff in your diet, like green veggies, lean protein. It helps a lot with every kind of mental issues. Trust me, they say you are what you eat, and drink a lot of water. Just make sure that you're not drinking like gallons of water, whatever you health and your there's also a formula to find out how much water you should be drinking per glass. So if you have 50 to 60 kg, maybe 7 to 8 glass should suffice. Second is cut down all the food which is unhealthy. It is as simple as that. Remember, if you are struggling with any mental disorder, this eating fast food, eating chips, soft drink, sugar, it's suicide. Trust me, it adds so much to these mental things, because again, they said you are what you eat. And I would also recommend you here, I'll just quickly share a personal experience. It's exactly the fourth week that I have cut all the artificial sugar from my life. And yesterday, I was not too sure if it had too much sugar. I had a sachet of latte and I drank it and I hated it. I hated it, trust me. And I was so happy that, alhamdulillah, that my body responded so negatively to it. So from my experience, I can tell you that when you cut down on sugar, it gives you so much energy. It gives you so much energy. And subhanAllah, you really feel in pretty much in control. So start from making little changes. Just make sure that, and do it for a good reason, right? Just tell yourself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes healthy believers. So I want to be healthy for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that I have more energy to serve His deen. And yes, weight loss is a byproduct of it. It comes with it. So keep up with proper nutrition. I would also recommend you, if somebody's there to support you, because it's always easier to make, you know, positive changes with the support of others. So if you can involve friends and family, inshallah, that would be good. Maintaining gains and preventing setbacks. So what happens sometimes? Anxiety returns after you have, if it was too high, you have taken counseling, you have made all the changes that we discussed about, anxiety goes away. But sometimes it kicks back months or years after it goes away. This is known as relapse, right? How would you prevent relapse? Again, relapse is also preventable. If you have a right plan, which is put into place, you can prevent the relapse. So some of the suggestions I have for you here quickly, continue with self-care. Especially this is a reminder to mothers, wives, because what happens once we become wives, khalas, we forget ourselves totally, completely. Do something for yourself. Take care of yourself. Make one day a self-care day. I am reminding this to myself, inshallah, and I'm going to try this to apply this in my life as a Friday is self-care day. It is a day when we follow all the sunnah, cutting nails and all that. You know, maybe you can take a warm massage on Friday and feel a bit relaxed and ask your husband that I'm not cooking today. Okay, there's a husband, I'm not going to be very happy listening to that. But just generally, anything that you can do for yourself. Follow healthcare provider advice. Take part in social activities. Take it slow. So if you have many responsibilities, you can, you know, put them in place. And remember, it's not necessary to do everything. Create an anxiety 911 plan. Like if you know the list of warning signs that indicate that anxiety might be on the rise again, then have a plan ready to deal with those signs, right? So for example, if workplace situations that trigger anxiety, create a plan for action for handling them. So even before you encounter them. So what happens that when the trouble situation it arises, you already have a plan to deal with it and arrange for continued support. Okay, half an hour and we are done with anxiety. So I'm happy. All right, let's move on to stress. And stress, again, it's different from anxiety, although these are used interchangeably, but that's not right. Stress has its own. So what's stress? Stress is the response of people to excessive pressure or demands placed upon them. It arises when they worry that they can't cope with these challenges. Before I move on, I would like to just inform you that everybody, you know, it is a very difficult thing to define stress or to pin it down, because it's a very individual thing. For someone, raising children would be very stressful. For someone else, his work can be very stressful. For someone else, studies can be very stressful. But for some other people, these are the greatest joy of life. Like for them, studying is fun, right? Or for some people, raising children is fun. So it's, again, I would invite you to make your approach very personalized when you are listening to this part of the session, right? So whatever it is for you, just apply the things on this. So 80% of all the modern disease have their origin in stress. I am sure that now 95% of all modern disease have their origin in stress. So it all starts with stress, and it translates into or transforms itself into mental, into physical problems. So I have just taken one statistic for you to know how alarming it can be. 91% of adult Australians feel stress in at least one important part of their lives. And you have so many stats of the sort. Again, you have positive stress as well. A lot of people do not know what positive stress is. So positive stress is eustress. It is the positive cognitive response to stress that is healthy or gives a feeling of fulfillment or other positive feelings. So this is, again, a funny example. If you see this and you do not feel stressed, God knows what happens. Distress or negative stress is negative stress comes from having your well-being threatened or from being attacked physically or emotionally. Side effects of stress, and trust me, this list is non-exhaustive. Stress can make you forgetful. Have you ever seen sisters, especially mothers, they would say, I have put spoon there. And then you go and see, Mama, spoon is not there. And they're saying, no, I've just put it there. And you go and she says, oh, no, that's not there. Stress, right? It leads you to make poor judgments. And that's why I taught you this breathing exercise, that when you are under stress, when you are under anxiety, do not take decisions. Just at least go through deep breathing and access your solution-providing areas of the brain and then decide. It causes you to make serious mistakes. It makes you more negative. It can cause heart disease, stroke, elevated blood pressure, and makes you more susceptible to infection. So stress is directly proportional to disease. The more stressed you are, the more are the chances that you can have disease. So what do? We study about stress management. We'll start with the activity again. Okay, ready, guys? Alhamdulillah. Okay, are you guys ready for another activity? Just give me a yes if you are. Inshallah. Please participate. I don't want to feel that I'm talking to a screen. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. So we have people. Okay, alhamdulillah. Ready. Okay. Bismillah, where am I? Okay. This is a simple activity that is called why, what, and stress. Remember, every kind of change brings some sort of stress, right? A lot of stress, it increases because you do not recognize the problem. So the first and foremost point is to recognize the source of your problem or recognize the source of your negative stress. And I'm not saying that you are weak or you're helpless, or I'm not saying that I'm weak or I am helpless if I feel stressed. I feel stressed. You feel stressed. It's a normal thing, right? Problems happen with everyone. What we are trying to do is we are just trying to identify the problem and then plan some. We are planning to somehow, not somehow, we are planning to, inshallah, in a very systematic way, we are going to overcome it, inshallah. So this is an, again, it's a writing exercise. Please hold your pen and paper and I'm explaining this model to you. So first thing is why, which leads to what, and then that leads to stress. Our activity is to fix the why. I'll give you a simple example. If you have headache and you go to a doctor, please, doctors, do not take it to your heart. I'm just giving an example. If you have a headache and you go to a doctor, and if he gives you a tablet or something, and you have this tablet and khalas, the headache is gone, tell me, has the doctor treated the cause, or has the doctor treated the effect? Please, I just want to see the answer. Has the doctor treated the cause, or has the doctor treated the effect of your trouble? Anyone, please participate. Effect. Very good, Sister Naila. He has treated the effect. What happens is that the doctors, he has not treated. I just slightly feel interrupted. Can I make a very humble request for those of you who are here? You know, we have this 21st century tendency to multitask, right? So some of you would be listening to this conference and we have tens browser on, and some of you would be doing something else. Remember, if you are multitasking, then the research says that it decreases your concentration. right? So whatever you're learning, you'll not be able to absorb 100% of what you are learning here. So I would request you, if you have your tabs on, if you have your WhatsApp on, if you have all these things on, then please try to get rid of it so as to get 100% benefit of this. So inshallah, at the end of it, you will be saying, you know, any questions, and then you'll be asking me questions from nowhere, right? So, and then you'll be saying, no, I couldn't understand half of it. SubhanAllah. Right? So please, if anything else is going on, just we can inshallah get rid of it. But if you have children, it's okay. Let them play around and absorb whatever you can, inshallah. So let's move on to our activity. So you will write your, I'm just trying to make this activity as simple for you as you can. But again, it's very beneficial. So if you're having, what were we discussing before? Yes, the doctor has treated the effect. The chances are that the headache might come back again. So if you do not treat the underlying problem, if you do not treat the underlying cause of the trouble, chances are that it's going to strike back. So knowing your why is very important. So you're often having fight with your husband, right? It's happening over and over again. So just try to find out why. Why am I having this emotional issue? What's happening? So once you know this why, it becomes easy to deal with it. So you have communication problem. Okay, just learn to have a compassionate communication. Or if, you know, it's exams. Yeah, right? And if it's in your exam tomorrow, you're just trying to study and trying to cover this label just one night before the exam, you're treating the effect. You're not treating the cause. What should you do? You should have, you know, do chunking of your syllabus and studied throughout the semester. This was treating the cause. So in anything else, you know, work home imbalance, what do you need to do? You know, need to manage time. If it's affecting your job, if that's creating stress to you, you have to find out why. Why is it happening with me, right? If you're not going well along with your husband, why? If everything is messing up, why? Ask yourself. And then fix that why. And what the children are doing, the children are being fussy, they're being messy, they do not cooperate, and that causes you stress. What do? You discipline your children. You educate yourself on disciplining techniques when it comes to children. Talk to your children. Listen to what they have to say. Right? So this, again, really helps. So a lot of times what happens is that a mother is constantly saying something. Children are not listening. She's saying this again. I've literally seen women repeating the same thing over years, and the children are not listening. And I asked those sisters, why don't you change the technique? If that's not working, there are a gazillion more techniques. Change the techniques. Try to find out why they do not listen to you, and then fix that why, right? So the only person whom you have control over is yourself. So just try to find out how you can make the situation better. The other thing is fixing your perception. So between the situation and you, there's always your perception. It says, if I can put it correctly here, it says that it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens to you, right? You can listen to that one in the recording, inshallah. So situation. So for example, you are at home. So start from this side, like from the situation. Husband is late. And what you're doing, you're thinking, you are at home, you're perceiving that, okay, I think he met an accident. Oh, I think he got robbed. Oh, I think that he's with another woman. Right? These thoughts do not serve you. And when these sort of thoughts, they do not serve you, get rid of them. Right? It's important to learn to respond to life situation and not to react to them. Whenever we are holding on to all these negative thinkings, okay, my husband will be with someone else, or we are just hanging on to the frustrations, we are holding grudges, and we are playing victim mode. Trust me, we are just hurting ourselves. Because these emotional baggage, it will again translate itself into physical disease. Holding on to grudges, again, it's just, and I'll be talking about forgiveness in a while. Okay, I'll share it with you then, right? So what you can do, is that you can, sorry, I missed this. So the greatest mistake we humans make in our relationship, we listen half, understand quarter, think zero, and react double. So respond, do not react. change your thinking. What do? You reframe. While you're in the house, you're not able to access your husband. You can think, good, husband might be late because of traffic jam, or because of work overload, or because of unexpected meeting. So positive thinking, see what you can do rather what you can't. Focus on your strength, look for opportunities, seek out positive and make a change, forget powerlessness, dejection, despair, failure. Right? So reframing is change the way you look at things. Why? In order to be able to feel better. It's good for you. So there are many ways to interpret a certain situation. SubhanAllah, I read a post somewhere that in which the husband was writing something and the wife was standing on his head and he was reading. She was reading what he was writing. And I'm just trying to take it out from my memory. He was saying, this was such a bad year and I had to go through a operation in which my pancreas was removed, and my son went through an accident, met an accident, and my father died, and all these things. After a while, he wrote a long list of all the bad things that happened during the year. The wife takes the pen and she rewrites it, and she says that Alhamdulillah, it was such a good year that I finally got rid of the pain in my pancreas. Right? So whatever it was, I'm not sure it was really pancreas. Or my child was safe in a very horrible accident in which the entire vehicle was destroyed. And Alhamdulillah, during this year, my father, at the age of 80, without being a burden on anybody, he met his, he went to his Lord. So right, so she reframed the entire situation for him. Right? So if anything is messing up, You plan for, subhanAllah, picnic, and it starts to rain. Go out, enjoy the rain. It's reframing. Either you take the umbrella or you just start, oh my God, it ruined our day and all that. So reframing is pretty much, it doesn't change the external reality, but it helps you to view things in a way that is good for you, right? It makes you take things lightly and less stressfully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, that it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you, and that you like a thing which is not good for you, and Allah knows, and we do not know, right? Allah knows, but you know not. Then there are some unrealistic expectations. Unrealistic. Trust me, just understand, I'm not talking about goal setting here. I'm not talking about anything positive here. I'm talking about unrealistic explanation. You see this blue line? This blue line is where you stand, and this red line is where you want to reach. If it is unrealistic, this position, this gap is going to produce stress and unhappiness. So eliminate your unrealistic expectations. Have goals, have attainable goals, good goals, reliable goals. But I should do that, I need to do that, I ought to do that. These things, if they are out of a certain good, healthy range, just kill them all. Where you are right now is where you should be, because this is a part of Allah's master plan. Congruence is where your should is equal to your is, right? That is, again, not talking about goal setting. Set yourself some good, higher attainable goals. But right now, where you are, do not mess up with that situation. Okay. So I should, I am. Alhamdulillah. Meditation and relaxation. So meditation, but what basic meditation is, just being focused on any one idea or object when you exclude all other ideas or all other objects. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a beautiful thing in the name of meditation. You can say non-Muslims have tried and invented a lot of techniques for meditation. I say that salah and khushu in the salah is the best form of meditation for us Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us when we are offering salah? And remember, this is, I'm just reminding this to myself first and then to all of you, that He wants us to have khushu, right? Being able to focus on what we are saying and exclude all other ideas, all other things that's popping up in our minds, and focus on salah. That's the best form of meditation. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, salah is the coolness of my eyes. And that's a homework for myself and for the rest of you. For at least one day, for next 5 prayers, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the salah coolness of our eyes. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tell Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, oh Bilal, comfort us by the prayers called. That is the adhan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, O you who believe, seek help with patience and perseverance. So with patient perseverance and prayer. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. For Allah is with those who are patiently persevere. So again, if you're having anxiety, if you're having panic attack, whatever you're having, one of the best things is to just unroll your prayer mat, go make wudu, and just stand on, just stand in Allah's court and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what's happening with me. You take care of it. I cannot. Zikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An, those who believe and whose hearts are set at rest by the remembrance of Allah. Now surely by the remembrance of Allah are the hearts set at rest. So with the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find peace or do hearts find rest? Allah have dhikr illahi, tatma'inul qulub, make lots and lots of zikr. Again, when it comes to zikr, do something which you can do consistently, which includes, you know, adhkar after salah and adhkar morning, evening prayer, morning, evening adhkar. So whatever you can do with ease, please do that, inshallah. Contemplating on the signs of Allah. So again, I was saying that, you know, if something happens to you and you have the liberty of going out and taking a walk in nature, maybe in a park or near the ocean or wherever you can, it's a very good thing. Science has taken a lot of pain to prove that it boosts happiness, it takes you out of misery. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this good news in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, men who celebrate the praise of Allah standing, sitting and lying down on their sides and contemplate the wonders of creation in the heavens and the earth with the thought that our Lord you have not created all this, glory be to thee, give us salvation from the banality of hellfire. So add some fun to life, the halal humor. Since it's halal humor is good. If you are not, so Sufyan ibn Aina, he was asked, is joking prohibited? He replied, it's a sunnah, but the point is that it should be done in an appropriate way and it should not include anything that is not truth, right? So there are some pointers. Do not mock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, O you who believe, let not some people mock at the other. It may be that they are better than you. So do not call anybody, oh, this is Pakistani, this is Pathan, this is Bengali or whatever. And do not lie. Woe to the one who says something which is false in order to make people laugh. Al Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this thrice. Woe to him. Okay, again, we'll do an exercise. I just want to see if you guys are with me. Okay, pen and paper ready. One, I hope this is the last exercise that we are going to be doing together. Last exercise. Are you guys ready? Pen and paper ready. Okay, I know I'm troubling you guys a lot, but just tell me if the pen and paper is ready. Last exercise, inshallah. Deep breathing. So, give yourself some marks over. Here I have, just like this again, you are what you eat, so you're gonna be doing this exercise real quick. I have sugary carbonated drinks. You don't want me to name those drinks, you already know that. Never, one, rarely two, sometimes three, often four, and five. May Allah forgive us. Always five. Number two, I eat salty foods. Do you? I never eat salty food. One, I rarely eat salty foods. Not too much salt. I mean, a little bit salt is good. But if you see this thing right here in the slide, then that calls for trouble. Sometimes, often, always. I eat cooked with butter. Always, sometimes. Give yourself some marks over here. I eat chocolates and pastries. I miss chocolates a lot. I just eat dark chocolate now without sugar. SubhanAllah. I used to love chocolates, and I believe that if I can give up on eating chocolate, anybody can. Give yourself some marks over here. I add sugar to hot drinks. You always have good replacements. Do you know that honey tastes as good as anything else in the tea? I use honey these days, and it's good. I'm doing well. I add sugar to hot drinks. I drink less than 1.2 liter of fluids every day. This is one research. Other researchers say that your body needs water according to your BMI, according to your weight. So the point is that you need to have a good amount of water. I eat fried food. Khalas, give yourself 10 over here if you do. Man. No, just give yourself 5, always. Yes. Okay, if you're done with that, just quickly add your score. So remember, it's okay. the higher you have scored, the unhealthier your diet is. That means the more stressful you can be. So healthy lifestyle is lower the salt consumption, lower the caffeine, avoid processed food as much as you can. Actually, it's not practically possible for me. I pray to Allah that it becomes possible for us someday to leave all the processed food, but as much as you can, just avoid processed food, avoid the use of refined sugar and carbohydrate. Add vegetable, fruit, vitamin, water, go green. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Araf, eat and drink, but do not waste. So exercise, as I was talking about exercise earlier, if exercise sounds too boring to you, what you can do, can you guys see my screen? Okay, alhamdulillah. So remember, if you are doing anything boring, just try to make it fun. So if you are exercising and you do not like it, ask your husband to accompany you, ask your friend to accompany you, just make it exciting. Or if you have young children, you can play games with them. What does exercise do? It improves your blood circulation, it lowers your blood pressure, it clears the mind of worrying thoughts, it improves self-image, it makes you feel better about yourself. So good. And Islam encourages active lifestyle, and we know that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to race with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he used to walk as he was descending from a hill. So he would, you know, the way he would walk, it means, you know, business. Teach your child swimming, archery, and horse riding. And then get organized. A lot of stress comes from being unorganized, especially with moms who are, you know, taking care of multiple things in the morning, especially the husband can't find the socks, the children cannot find the copies and whatever. Be proactive. Security against out of blue problems, lost key, to make sure you have one place for your keys, so a place for everything and everything in a place, it helps. Don't overload your mind. Organization will help avoid personal and professional chaos. Compassionate communication. Any problem, big or small, within a family always seem to start with a bad communication. Someone is not listening. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is one of my favorite ayat in Quran, because it pretty much sums all our trouble with communication. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say to my servant, they speak that which is best, because surely the shaitan sows dissensions among them, and surely the shaitan is an open enemy to man. Simplify your lifestyle, declutter, throw away all the stuff that you're not using. If, you know, somebody's trash is somebody's treasure. No multitasking. And multitasking has different categories. Naturally, if you are cleaning, if you're doing dishes and listening to a good lecture at the same time, then it's fine. But if you are listening to a good lecture and opening another browse and Facebooking, then that's not fine. Go on media fast. Sometimes just get rid of all the tabs, mobiles, everything, and just lie down, appreciate life. Time management, make a to-do list, procrastinate procrastination, plan your day around Salah especially, set achievable goals, do not waste time making excuses for things that you cannot do. Forgive, because remember, if you are not forgiving others, if you are holding on to grudges, it is just like if you are drinking poison and you are expecting someone else to die. So just, it is not something that you do for people, it's just what you do for yourself. Forgive, forget, and move on. And trust me, if you are not forgetting, then you have not forgiven. An essential part of forgiving is that you forget. But if you pardon, overlook, and forgive, then indeed Allah is most forgiving. The me time, again, I encourage all the mothers to have some me time. It's very good that you're available for our husband, children, in-laws, our parents. It's very good, but please be available for yourself as well. Take time out for yourself and get away from the things that bother you. This will help you to meet yourself and calm you down. Just ask yourself, what do I want from life? What I can add more exciting, right? Do the things you love doing in a peaceful environment. Take some rest. Your body has right over you. If you suffer with some setback, then ask yourself, look at the bigger picture. Is it going to matter in 5 years? You know, if you lost your bag, which had, you know, say a couple of bucks in it, and you're like, you're totally freaking out. Just ask yourself, is it going to matter 5 years from now? No, then just let it go. Who doesn't fail? Everybody does. Just learn from your mistakes, inshallah. Counseling support network. I, again, highly encourage you that if anything is getting out of your control, then please, please, please seek professional counseling. It really helps. It rather pains me to, you know, to even say that we actually spend thousands of bucks to get our physical health back. But we just don't pay any attention to our mental health. We do not We don't want to spend a single penny to treat our mental disorder. So trust me, if you do not honor your mental health like the way you honor your physical health, you will have to pay a lot of prices later, because mental health problems, they ultimately transform themselves into physical problems. So before that happens, seek counseling, seek professional support. Spend on it, even if it takes you to spend. Then strengthen your bond, make him your best friend. Just recite 2 rakah nafil and ask Allah to give me your love. And ask for nothing else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be like, yes, this person asked for my love. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbak. So strengthen your bond with Allah. Just give all your worries to him. Make lots and lots of istighfar. A lot of times, whatever we do is also the result of it's actually the outcome of what we have done before. So seek a lot of repentance. Seek, you know, a lot of istighfar. It's said about someone that a person comes to him and says, I don't have child. And whoever, whether it was a scholar or an ancient pious predecessor, he said, make istighfar. Somebody came and said, I have financial issues. He said, make istighfar. Somebody came and he complained of some other problem and he said, make istighfar. So a lot of times what we are suffering is the result of what our hands have earned. That's what especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran. So make lots of istighfar. Some du'as to fight stress, inshallah, you can have a look at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Quran, in namalus yusra, indeed with every hardship there is ease. Allahu Allahu Rabbi la ushriku bihi shay'a. That's what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than they can handle. He knows that you can handle it, so take it easy. Jazakumullah khairan kathira for your patience. And here we go. Any question?
Jazakumullah khair, Sister Bela, for that truly fruitful session. That will be all for today. Alhamdulillah. We would like to thank all the attendees for joining us today, and we hope to see you all tomorrow as well, inshallah. Remember to join us tomorrow sharp at 3:45 p.m. Qatar time. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes these sessions truly beneficial for all of us and relieves us of the trials we may be facing. Ameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.